Together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day before Memorial Day. As Christians, as Americans, we are so grateful for the price that has been paid for our freedom, the freedom we have to just worship you today, to sit here in this sanctuary and read your word and sing hymns to you, Lord. It's a freedom that we don't take for granted and we don't take lightly. Lord, I thank you for our freedoms. I thank you for our country. I pray for every family that has experienced the loss of someone who has been fighting on our behalf, fighting for our freedoms. Lord, I pray that you would be especially near to them this Memorial Day weekend, that you would comfort them and encourage their hearts together. Lord, if there's any in this congregation who have experienced a family member who has given the ultimate price for our freedoms, Lord, I pray that they would know of our love and our care and our support, and that you would come alongside them with your comfort and your help. Lord, I lift up to you these names that we've mentioned that were called out, even several that are dealing with ongoing pain and difficulty physically. Many in our congregation are dealing with some cancer diagnosis, and the future is uncertain. And Lord, we don't know where to turn except for to you. And I just ask you to work in each situation. May your will be done. Those that are having surgery procedures this week, Lord, I pray you'd give all of those doctors wisdom, and that you would give proper healing as the surgery is finished up, and that you would give special help to each one of these situations. Lord, I specifically mentioned Joey's sister, Christina, in prayer. This is a very difficult situation and don't know what the future holds, but Lord, I pray that you would just give wisdom to those who are working with her, if it be your will to heal her and bring her to the point where she has back to her life as it was before. I pray that you would do that this morning, and may your name be glorified in all those situations. Lord, we pray for our church today. We thank you for the way you've been blessing and helping, and we've been growing and learning more about you, and we've been telling others about your love. And I pray that our church would be known as a church that loves you and loves people, and that people would be drawn to your spirit here at Faith Community Chapel. Be with us as we plan for the future and all the changes that are on the horizon. May your will be done, and may your name be glorified. And Lord, we ask for your presence in this service today. Would you rest upon us, Lord? Would you speak to our hearts? And may we leave here encouraged to serve you better. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And thank you for sharing. Sometimes we don't always share on a Sunday morning, and maybe we should. But those are good updates, and thank you for sharing those requests. Gentlemen are coming for the morning tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for your continued giving to the ministry of Faith Chapel and the ministry of the Lord. Go ahead, gentlemen, whenever you're ready. Thank you.
Lord has helped me to really feel about that. I don't have to
Amen. Yes.
And what I'm saying is, I'm relying on what the blood of Christ was able to do. It's the record.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen.
We're accepted as clear as Jesus Christ coming before the Father. Now that's saying a mouthful, brother.
That's right.
Saying a mouthful. We can come with that confidence that Jesus has took care of that, and we stand before God as holy creatures.
Praise the Lord.
That is such a blessing, such a privilege. I don't ever get over that. Thanks be to God. I appreciate this morning for what he's doing and how he'll guide our lives. We'll let him. Praise his name.
Amen. All God's people said amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Good, good. Glad I came to church today. Almost didn't make it, though. I was in Indiana yesterday, and I'm so glad to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. I was afraid that our attendance would not be what it should be today, because it seems like half our church is at the wedding in Indiana, Abby Smith and Trey Dodsworth, and at least I saw a bunch of people there that are from Faith Chapel. So, and they'll mosey on home sometime after Memorial Day, I'm sure. But I really got scared last night because I was trying to catch my flight in Indianapolis, and the boarding time was supposed to be a certain time, and that came and went. And then the departure time was supposed to be a certain time, and that came and went. And then they finally made an announcement, oh, the flight's been delayed. I'm like, uh-oh, because I had a connecting flight, and I had to get back to Greensboro last night. Anyway, so all I know is we finally got on our flight about an hour late, and that pilot sure knows how to make up time. I mean, he really flew. Okay, some of you got that. So I made it home, but it was really, really late last night or early this morning, and I'm glad to be back. For those of you who have been wondering, the wedding went really, really well yesterday, and Trey and Abby did a great job. They weren't nervous, and some weddings you go to, I get nervous as a pastor. But they did well, and it just flowed very smoothly. And aside from some rain during the time when we should have been outside in the reception, other than that, it went wonderful. So some of you I think watched it online, and if you didn't get to congratulate them, there is a reception planned here at the Carolina Christian Academy Dining Hall on June the 11th from 7 to 9. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can. Let Kay Smith know sometime by the end of this week. And I think some information is back there. But it's a reception in their honor. And if you're here for that, we'd like for our church people to congratulate them and participate in the celebration of their marriage. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about love. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I got to say one more thing. For the last almost 5 years that I have been your pastor, I have dropped some very subtle hints from this pulpit about a certain type of pie that I learned to love in Pennsylvania. Does anybody know what that is? Let's see how many of you have been listening. And in 5 years, none of you took the challenge to bring me, not even on my birthday or Christmas or anything, until last week. I got the gooey, wonderful goodness of a shoe fly pie, and Mary Lou Huffman, I don't know if you make them or not, but the one you made last week was grateful. I'm very grateful for that. And this morning, I'm just telling you how God is good. I opened up the fridge, and there was still some peace left. And this is after I had some before I left on the trip, and now I got back, and I opened the fridge, and there were some left. And Mary Lou, I may or may not have had some for breakfast this morning. I'm not going to tell you if that happened or not, but anyway, thank you. I'm just kidding about all that, but thank you so much for thinking of me. Memorial Day is tomorrow, and I've been thinking about that this week. Sometimes there's confusion, especially in our young people, about why Memorial Day is important. And I want to thank Brother Bud Kuhn for sharing that with us this morning. That was very appropriate and helped us as we sang America the Beautiful to be grateful for our country. Let me take a moment and tell you, you know, there's Memorial Day, and then there's Veterans Day, and then a couple of number of years ago, we established Patriot Day, which is September the 11th. Memorial Day is usually in May, usually the last Monday of May, and we had some of the history of that. Memorial Day is specific to those that who have died for our country, whether they've died in battle or they've died because of the wounds that they received in battle. It's our chance to honor them, and we need to honor those who have paid the ultimate price. Veterans Day is also very important. That's in November, I think it is. I get confused which, you know, where they all are. And then there's Labor Day too, and Labor Day is to honor, I don't know who that's to honor, but anyway, it's a vacation. Veterans Day is important because it's a chance to honor those who are living, those who have given of themselves, and yet they're still with us. And we need to take advantage of that. And then Patriots Day is to really honor the civilians who paid the price of being in the wrong place at the wrong time and suffered under the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. So those are the 3 days in our nation's calendar that we honor those who have died or served for our armed forces. As was mentioned already, the national observance for Memorial Day dates back into the 1800s, just at the end of the Civil War. And it's shocking to me how many men we lost in the Civil War. We were fighting against each other, and so we lost on both sides. And I don't know if you're one of those type of people that still thinks the Civil War should be fought or it has never been finished or whatever, I don't know. But I do know this. We live in a very, very peaceful time compared to those days. We live in a time when we don't know and our children don't know the struggle that our forefathers bore. Whether it be the Revolutionary War or the Civil War or the other wars that were mentioned this morning, all of these wars are times of great national tragedy and heartache. And even though we've been in a war against terrorism, for most of us, it hasn't come that close to home. We hear about it on the news. We understand it. Hopefully, we pray about it. Hopefully, we do our part as citizens of this great country. But I found out one interesting thing about the Civil War that I want to share with you. Following the end of the Civil War, there were many veterans, Confederate veterans of the Civil War, who because of the conflict and because of what they saw and because of what they experienced, it propelled them towards God. And it solidified their relationship with God. And I didn't know this, but some have done the research, and there were many, not just a few, there were many soldiers in the Confederate Army when the war was over who went to seminary and became pastors and church leaders as a result of what they saw. It's as if the atrocities of that war did what it should do, and that's drove them to their knees before God. Unfortunately, today there are many pastors and churches who will not even mention Memorial Day in their churches. I don't know. I guess it's the separation of church and state thing that has gone too far. But I just want you to know that I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, and I am a grateful American. And I'm grateful for those who have fallen, and we remember their sacrifice today. The idea of a person giving their life for another person, for someone else, is actually something that's found in Scripture. Long before Memorial Day, long before the Civil War, in John chapter 15, these words of Christ that we read a few moments ago, we find this phrase where Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend." The previous verse to that talks about the love that Jesus says comes from God. He said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." This morning I have three things I want to share with you. Number one, this idea of paying the ultimate price, this idea of giving yourself in sacrifice to others starts, and it's in verse 12, it starts with love from God the Father. On Memorial Day, our hearts are stirred because we love freedom and we love our country and we love the citizens of our country. And as a citizen of this great nation, our heart is stirred in love. Contrast that to a world that we live in that's filled with hatred and tragedy and war. You go to other countries, and there's other countries in the world that you and I should not even go to visit because it's dangerous, and if they found out we were from America, we would be under attack. But here in this country, we enjoy the freedom to worship God. We enjoy the freedom to live how we feel God wants us to live. And it is good and proper for us to commemorate the love that caused others to lay down their life for our country. But don't let anyone ever forget it all started with the love of God the Father. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that he commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved the world so much that he sent his son to this earth. God loved us first. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes this. He said, "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him even more. But if you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less." Sometimes we wait for love to start in the heart. We wait for love to just be a feeling that kind of oozes from within us. We're in love with someone, or we love our children, or we love other things. But love actually should be a response. A response to God, a response to those who paid the ultimate price, a response to the love that someone shows to us. And when we see someone who doesn't like us, and our immediate feeling is one of rejection towards them, we need to pause for a moment and remember that God has loved us first. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you and I could never repay the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross for your sins and mine. We can serve God for the rest of our life, and we will still be indebted to God. The same is true for those that have paid the ultimate price. If you go to the cemeteries in Europe that were put there after World War II, and you look at grave upon grave upon grave of individuals who gave their life so you and I could enjoy the freedom that we enjoy today, it's overwhelming. Go to Arlington Cemetery and look at the thousands and thousands of graves. Every person, every red-blooded America should tour Arlington Cemetery at some point in their life. Because it's overwhelming. When you realize what they did for us, you realize you could never repay it. And the same is true with God. Jesus is saying right here, you need to love other people not because you feel it. You need to love other people because I have first loved you. The second thing is in verse 13 that I want to share with you. Not only does love begin with the Father, but the freedom that we experience is not free. Someone pays the price. When we recognize the cost of freedom, we recognize the cost that it took for us to enjoy what we enjoy today, we all of a sudden realize how indebted we are to those who have gone before us. That's why it's good for us to take a moment tomorrow and pause and reflect on those who have paid the ultimate price. President Bill Clinton signed into law the National Moment of Remembrance Act. And I don't know if you know about that act, but basically up until he signed that law, the whole day was a day of celebration and memory. But at 3:00 tomorrow, officially, it has been designated as a moment of silence to remember those who have paid the ultimate price. We know that freedom has been purchased. We know that freedom is not free. We know that someone had to pay the price. But think about this. Some of the individuals who paid the price for our freedoms did so before we even knew about them, before we were even born. My grandfather served in World War II. He wasn't even married yet. My father wasn't even born when he served. I wasn't even thought of. I wasn't even planned. And many of you weren't as well. Those that served in the Revolutionary War, who fought for our freedom and our independence from England, they didn't know you and I would be sitting here today. They fought for future generations who would never know them or the details of the price that they paid for our freedoms. It's amazing to me when I read the words of Nathan Hale when he says, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." Nathan Hale gave his life for our country, for the freedoms that you and I enjoy. And we're not even related to him that I know of. I never met Nathan Hale, and neither have you. But he gave his life for the freedoms we enjoy here in this country. In a greater sense, think about this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price, experiencing the horror and torture of crucifixion, so that you and I could not just be free on this earth, so that we could have eternity that's free from damnation, eternity that's free from the retribution that our sin demands. Jesus Christ paid the price for the freedom, the spiritual freedom of all the world. And he did it before you were even thought of. He did it before your grandparents were thought of, or your great-grandparents were thought of. But make no mistake about it, others may not have known who would come along in the future, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in his sovereignty, in his omniscience, he knew that you and I would need a Savior someday. Freedom is not free. Someone pays the price. Aren't you glad for those who have paid the price for our freedoms? Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And then he makes the statement, "And you are my friends." Jesus is declaring this. If you read through the book of John, you'll realize Jesus is declaring the fact that these individuals surrounding him were his friends before Judas would betray him, before Peter would deny him, before his disciples would desert him at the time of crucifixion. Jesus is declaring his love and his friendship to them even before they did him wrong. Have you ever done God wrong? You don't have to answer that. I'll answer it for me and for all of us. Of course we have. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How can God love us? How can God be our friend? How can Jesus Christ look at the very individuals who would desert him someday and say, "I love you. You're my friends. I'm going to lay down my life for you"? I don't understand it. All I know is it's the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced. The fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants to have a relationship with you and with me. Maybe that's why Thomas A. Kempis said, "Whoever loves much does much." Have you ever been indebted to someone who's done you a favor? Of course. They do you a favor and then you want to give back to them. They do something nice for you and then you do something nice for them. It's the opposite of the revenge system, where they do something bad and you do something worse and then it just escalates. No, it's the opposite. It's where you are indebted with gratitude towards someone because of what they've done to us. That's why I think we should be good citizens of this country. We are indebted to those who have paid the ultimate price. That's why we should vote. Vote your conscience. Vote what you believe. Not only because it's your right and it's your privilege, but because there are individuals who have died to give you the right to participate in a free democracy. Reminds me of a story of a father. A number of years ago, took his children to the mall. He had a boy and a girl. I think the boy was about 5 years old and the little girl was 8 years old. And as they drove into the parking lot, they saw an 18-wheeler parked, big old box truck, with the sign on the side of that truck said "Petting Zoo," with a big picture of the animals. And in the middle of this mall, they had set up a petting zoo with all these fences and this hall, this hay and straw down there and all the stuff they needed for the animals. And sure enough, they walked into the mall that day, and there in the middle of the mall was a beautiful petting zoo, all set up. Well, the father looked at his two kids and he looked at the petting zoo and he said, "Would you guys like to go?" "Oh, yes, we want to go see the animals." So he gave them each a quarter. That'll tell you how far back it was. And he said, "You get in line and you go to the petting zoo. I've got to run into Sears." That's another thing I'll tell you how far back the story was. "I got to run into Sears and pick up something." They got in line. He went into the store. When he came out, he realized that his son had made it into the petting zoo and was sitting down, getting all dirty with the animals and holding the bunnies and the little goats and all the things. But his daughter wasn't in there. And he knew she loved animals. In fact, he knew that his daughter really loved bunny rabbits and kitty cats and all those things. And he looked at his daughter and said, "Why aren't you in there?" She said, "Old daddy," and she took her dad by the hand. She said, "It cost 50 cents to get in. And you know, dad, you said the other day in our family devotion time, you said love is action." She said, "I thought it would be love in action to give my brother my quarter, so he would have the 50 cents, so he would have enough to go in and enjoy petting the animals." Well, the heart of that father just welled up with pride, I'm sure. His daughter got it. His daughter understood what he was trying to teach his children. He walked over to the petting zoo with his daughter, and he watched as she kind of leaned on that white picket fence and looked in as she watched her brother enjoying himself with all those animals. He had 50 more cents in his pocket, but he never offered it to his daughter. She never asked for it. She just stood there with joy on her face, watching as her brother enjoyed that petting zoo that day. I don't know for sure if those in heaven can look down over the portals of heaven and see you and me. I'd like to think that it may be so. I don't know biblically, scripturally, if we can defend all of these viewpoints of heaven. But if we could see, we could probably see some of the men and women who've laid down their lives for our country, who've made it to heaven, looking over the portals of that beautiful place, smiling, watching, as we enjoy the freedoms that they purchased for you and for me. But even greater than that, this is one thing I do know. Jesus Christ does see. From where he ascended back into heaven and he seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for you and for me. Jesus Christ does know what you're going through and what you're experiencing, and he does know that many of us have experienced the joy of having our sins forgiven because of the price that he paid, the sacrifice that he made on the cross. I don't think Jesus is looking over a white picket fence with his face in his hands, but I do think he is smiling every single time a sinner comes home, every time a sinner makes their repentance and their journey back to the Father. Jesus laid down his life so that you and I could be free. He loved us so much that he paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Of course he's going to be joyful when you and I commit our life to Christ. There's three questions that everybody wants answers to, along with a bunch of other questions, but these are the three main ones. People want to know, where did I come from? They want to know, why am I here? And they want to know, where am I going when I die? Those are the things that rise to the top of our thinking, of our questions, of our life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going after I die? Let me tell you, all three of these questions can be answered in the person of Jesus Christ. On this Memorial Day weekend, it's not just enough to recognize and honor those who have paid the ultimate price, as we should. But it's also a great opportunity for us to recognize and realize that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for the sins of the entire world. Where did we come from? We have been created by God. Why are we here? We have a purpose. God created us with a reason for being on this earth. Where are we going after we die? Well, that all depends on whether we accept Jesus' work on the cross, whether he becomes our Lord and our Savior. This Memorial Day, tomorrow, I hope you have a good time with your families and hope you have some things planned that will be memorable for your children. But I hope you also pause, if not at 3 o'clock, then at some other time during the day. Pause with a heart of gratefulness to those who have fought for the United States of America, who fought for our flag, who have fought for our country. And then take a moment to thank our God, who sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins, who has given us the opportunity to experience the ultimate freedom of knowing our sins are forgiven and our eternity is with him in heaven. Let's stand together this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for your blessings. Especially this morning, we thank you for the blessing of freedom. We enjoy things in our country today that others around the world do not enjoy. And we think sometimes because communism has somewhat failed and other world government systems have somewhat failed, we think that maybe there's more freedom today than ever before. But the truth is, Lord, there is oppression in our world. There is hatred in our world. There are other countries who are filled with sin and hatred towards anyone who claims the name of Christ. And yet we are here today worshiping you freely in this congregation, in this church. Thank you for those freedoms, Lord, and thank you for those who paid the ultimate price. And Lord, thank you most of all for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. May we never forget what you did for us, and may our lives be turned to you in joy, in gratefulness, and in service to you because of what you've done for us. Thank you for loving us first. May we love you in return, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Be friendly, shake hands, and you are dismissed. The Lord bless you.